the United States using nationally and publicly available data on ambulatory medical care survey data from 2006 to 2010. So this data contains the visits characteristics made in the outpatient setting, and we use this data to look at the trend of opioid prescription in the US. So I am Mohammad Rifat Haider from Department of Health Services Policy and Management at University of South Carolina. I am presenting this, and I am disclosing that I have and we, the co-authors, have no personal conflict or interest. So opioid is mainly used for as the pain medication, and data shows that there one in every four Americans suffer from pain lasting longer than a day, and these opioids are the main choice of medication. And the number of sufferers from chronic pain are 100 million, and the cost is staggering 560 billion to 635 billion and IOM report says. So we also looked at the cost at the end of the study, and so that's kind of an afterthought, and we look at the cost too, so that is also relevant in our discussion. And the short-term utilization of prescription opioids are relatively effective, but long-term poses the threat of getting addicted to it. Today I was talking with one professor, and he was saying that the heroin addiction and the main opioid, not marijuana or any other kind of drugs, are the main factor or kind of prelude to the heroin addiction. Mainly actually the opioid addiction leads one person, can lead potentially to heroin addiction. And they're in the same kind of drug. And this long-term prescription opioid is associated with increased risk of misuse, abuse, and getting addicted to opioid. And finally, this can culminate into overuse and death. And 6.1 million Americans abuse or misuse all prescription drugs. We are talking about prescription drugs, those are prescribed by the physicians. And out of these, there is staggering numbers. These 16,000 deaths result from this misuse, and 475,000 emergency ER visits occur for this use or misuse or abuse. So this is only the second to marijuana abuse in the nation, and painkillers are considered as the major contributor to this drug-related mortality. So previous research looked at the trends in specific conditions, for specific conditions or in specific settings, like headache or musculoskeletal pains or different healthcare settings for different specialties among different populations, like aged population, older population. We try to look at the overall picture of it. We didn't exclude anyone. We ran the analysis among every available data we could put our hand on. So this study we used, in this study I've already said that NEMSIS and MEPS, Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, at the end to estimate the cost. Though the both studies are different, in different conducted on different population, but both studies are nationally representative, and we found similar results in trends, and MEPS is a very comprehensive study on costs. So our objective is to describe the trends in opioid prescribing in physician office setting from 2006 to 2010. Those are the latest available data sets of NEMSIS, and also to identify the factors associated with these opioid utilization among the in the prescribed by the physician in the physician office settings. And we also try to estimate the cost of opioid prescription drugs to patients, their co-payments, and the healthcare system. This is all both their co-payments and the healthcare system payments. and the provider payments, the insurer payments also, we try to estimate. So NAMCIS is actually collected, data is collected by CDC, and they also make it publicly available. And MEVS data is, the data collection is conducted by ARC, Agency of Healthcare Research and Quality. And we use the same time frame, the 2006 to 2010, though the MEVS data are available until 2012. So our primary dependent variable was the opioid prescribed by physician. So in NAMCIS data, the unit of observation is the visits. So in each visit, whether any prescription opioid is prescribed, we use that as the opioid prescription. And those medications were identified using the drug database in the provider on the NAMCIS, that is Multum Lexicon database, the drug names, and we actually sorted out which are the opioids, and we coded them as the opioid prescribed in each visit. And we use the survey weight to make it more nationally representative for our generalization purpose. And we also use the survey weighted MEVS data to calculate the cost. And we excluded those, we actually included those medication which are bought in the outpatient setting. We didn't calculate all the cost because we are talking about the outpatient setting. It's only the fragment. Okay, there are inpatient cares, and those are beyond the scope of this study. So this is the result. It's kind of looks messy, but I only showed the, this is the survey weighted data, that's why it is looking that big. But you know, the 50 to 64 years of aged persons are more prescribed. I didn't show the all the age groups. Is the more white persons, and in urban locations, those who went for primary care and those who were seen by primary or medicine specialists, and private medical, those who are insured by private insurance, and those who have cancer diagnosis and also have the history of injury or adverse drug events, and those who spend 11 to 20 minutes time in physician's office are most likely to be prescribed, the opioid has been prescribed for these population. So this is a trend. So after using the survey weighted analysis, we saw that it has been increasing. It's kind of level off in 2009 and 2010, but before that, it has increased a lot. So now 17.81% prescriptions in the outpatient setting included opioid prescription. So these are the predictors of the opioid prescription. So we use the logistic, CEU logistic analysis, regression analysis, and in each year we found the same similar kind of trend. Still here also we found that the patient age at 50 to 64 years of age, those who have gone there for primary care and also has seen by the primary specialist, primary care specialist, health insurer, the Medicare, Medicaid, and cancer diagnosis. Higher odds of getting the prescription, opioid prescription. Here I also excluded the non-statistically unsignificant variables. These are the costs. What are the costs of opioid prescription in ambulatory care setting? So it has been increasing from 24 million to now, so 24 billion to now, it has gone to upwards to 28 billion. And I also look at the total cost of prescription opioids in those years, and total cost of out-of-pocket costs borne by the patients themselves are also on the increasing, but you can see out-of-pocket costs decreased after 2006. That may be because we have seen that Medicare patients are mostly prescribed opiates, because those elderly patients, Medicare patients, are over 65 years of age. They are prescribed more, and they incurred more costs. And then after 2006, the Medicare prescription drug Part D program was initiated. That's why the out-of-pocket cost decreased, but overall cost of opioid prescription increased. Look at the last two rows, that total cost increased, but total out-of-pocket cost decreased. So there is the evidence of increasing use of opioid medications in ambulatory care setting in the US. And the use of opioid increased with age, and these are likely to occur for the primary care visit. Even for the primary care visits, those who are suffering from pain, they are asking for the medication. The physicians are prescribing them the opioids. And opioid prescription costs showed an upward trend too. We have seen that that is increasing. And Medicare and Medicaid program is bearing the cost of this increased amount, and that is more than the private insurers. So primary care physicians can play a very important role in curbing the misuse or abuse of prescription drugs. So from our study, we have seen that those who have gone for the primary care and those who are seen by the primary care physicians are mostly prescribed, they have the higher chance of getting prescribed opioids. So there are different kind of programs still going on, but those has to be strengthened, like prescription drug monitor programs, PMDPs. Those should be strengthened, because those are there, those are programs we have to really focus on and stress on those programs to curb down these rates. The over-reliance and misuse and abuse of opioid prescription. And Medicare population is incurring the cost. That means Medicare is incurring the cost that is being financed by the Social Security money. And there is a big concern of with aging of the population, increasing aging. We know that the more people are getting aged, and being under the Medicare program. So if the prescription opioids are increasing, Medicare Part D program is also covering their cost too. So that actually hampers that actually raises the question of their solvency. So we have to focus on this opioid prescription drug again to keep this year is the 50th anniversary of Medicare program, to keep it solvent and keep it going, because it's a very important social care program. So thank you. And any questions? Yes, we controlled for that variable. We have that variable, that whether the patient was diagnosed as a cancer patient. So we tried to control for that variable, that cancer diagnosis, but we didn't do our analysis in any subgroup, that only the non-cancer patients. No, we didn't, but we tried to control for that variable too. Yes, but that's a very good point. Yes, there's increasing, and those patients are going to be more vulnerable to be this subject of this opiate misuse. Yes.
In terms of your analysis as well, when you look at cost, did you look at the cost of morphine equivalent drug doses for the medication for
we actually included all sorts of opioids in our analysis. That the not only any single types of morphine, all types of opioids in we coded as that. If there was any presence of, I know this is a very broad kind of study. We have all types of drugs included, all types of opioids included in our analysis. Yeah.
You brought up the point about drug costs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to remember that about that 2009 stage is when drug manufacturers were beginning to look at the language of the Affordable Care Act and realizing that there are price caps put in place, limiting how high drug costs can go as a percentage of the total healthcare costs that will be rolled out in the next few years. And so, unfortunately, what we've seen in the last few years are these sharp increases in drug costs as the manufacturers prepare to position their drug at the highest the market will bear,
mm-hmm.
before the cost limitations go into play. Now, I'm not sure how many are familiar with track and trace legislation. That's a recent legislation that dictates that it really has a moral stance of saying we're going to limit the amount of medications that can come from an outside source, we're going to track them. What it really does is causes pharmacies and medication distribution have to purchase from in-house or inside the United States sources. And so there's a number of factors at play in terms of affecting costs that really might not be able to be impacted at the prescriber level, but really is going to be something that can only be impacted at the legislative level.
Yeah, I understand. A very good point, because I was talking to one pharmaceutical guy this morning that in US, in healthcare, there's always a charge, big charge, and they are not getting the whole. They are putting their charges higher, for even for the drugs. They are getting much, much lesser than that. And those are mainly borne by the insurers. If the out-of-pocket cost is much less, but the insurers are bearing the cost. Yes, that might be that keeping the prices higher, maybe the keeping that space of negotiation open.